Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, did Derek Chauvin get a fair trial? New evidence suggests that the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution very well might have been violated. We also talk about this interaction between a Los Angeles police officer and an unidentified woman, and so much more. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, relieffactor.com. What is the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution? Most people can't tell you what the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is, so I will read you the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Remember, the philosophy behind the United States Constitution is one of a natural rights doctrine that you, a human being, has the right to speak, defend yourself, not be spied upon, and that these are rules for government because the Founding Fathers knew that without rules for government, Tyrannos, which is the Greek word for tyranny, the master of others, will come in and dominate you. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Let me read that again. By an impartial jury of the state. It's pretty important. So because of this, and it goes on to say, I could finish the entire amendment, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, so you have the right to confront witnesses, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor or her favor, so you're able to have people testify on your behalf, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. So you're allowed to have an attorney. So the history of the Bill of Rights is very interesting. The Bill of Rights were officially ratified on December 15th, 1791. The United States Constitution was passed on September 17th in 1787, the Constitutional Convention. So there was actually a 4-year period between the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. George Mason was actually the biggest driver and pusher behind the Bill of Rights. He most famously drafted the Virginia Bill of Rights in Virginia in 1776, a pretty eventful year. You had Thomas Paine's Common Sense, Adam Smith's Inquiry into the Wealth of Nations, the Declaration, and the Virginia Bill of Rights all in 1 year, just kind of coming together at one time. And so the Bill of Rights, which was ratified officially by Virginia being the 10th state or the 10th colony, I guess you could call it a state, the 10th state to accept it, was a big deal because some of the founders, George Mason in particular, said, look, the Constitution's fine, but without the Bill of Rights, it does not go far enough to specifically say your rights when it comes to redress of grievances, freedom of speech, to protect yourself, so on and so forth. The right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state. Now, why does that matter, impartial jury? Well, it's pretty fundamental because if you are going to then decide someone's future to indict the power of the state against them, which could take away their freedom, take away their liberty, take away their property, you have to make sure the people making that decision do not have a bias. So how are juries selected in our country? So you pick a random pool of citizens. They report for jury duty. But then when they're selected, a judge does some very basic questions and conflict of interest. Does anyone here have any deeply held political views against the accused? Has anyone here posted on social media against the accused? And then it gets to a place where then the accused, for example, let's just use the George Floyd example, which is obviously where I'm getting at here. They get to go through the list of jurors and ask questions and be, let's say, an advocate for their client against the state, saying, no, that person has a political belief and I'm able to prove it here on their social media post. Or in the Chauvin case, the lawyer for Derek Chauvin even tried to get the entire trial moved from that area because it was impossible for the people around there not to have a very specific motive to not want to see their city burned down to the ground, forcing a mistrial. But now, this is why I think we're going to win, is because the people on the other side, they cannot keep their mouths shut. They can't just get a victory and move on. Instead, this one of the jurors has decided to go and make himself a celebrity. This juror, by the way, very well could have been protected by the laws of anonymity around jurors. It's a very, very important law. We saw this around the trial of Roger Stone, the show trial of Roger Stone, where Roger Stone's jury, the jury forewoman, wrote against Trump and even wrote against Stone at some point on social media. Then she gets selected to be the forewoman on the entire jury. That's a Soviet-style show trial, which is why I supported Roger Stone's pardon. So now Brandon Mitchell, one of the jurors on the jury, obviously, to try and determine the innocence or the guilt of Derek Chauvin, has now come out. This is the Daily Mail. And it shows that he's a 31-year-old black man who was photographed on social media attending an August 28th protest in Washington, D.C., at which George Floyd's relatives spoke. Mitchell is seen in a photograph wearing a T-shirt with a picture of Martin Luther King Jr.'s and the words, "Get your knees off our necks," and BLM. He's also wearing a baseball cap embossed with "Black Lives Matter." Mitchell said he answered no to two questions about demonstrations on the questionnaire sent out before jury selection. So he lied. Now, will Brandon Mitchell be indicted for lying on an official government form and potentially interfering with the process of the Sixth Amendment of fair and impartial justice? Probably not. There'll probably be no recourse, no accountability for Brandon Mitchell. In fact, I believe if this story continues to escalate, which I think it will because Chauvin's attorneys are going to file appeals like they're going out of style, MSNBC, Joy Reid, Al Sharpton, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Robin DiAngelo, they're going to come to the defense of Brandon Mitchell. They're going to say, of course he wanted justice. The days of impartial juries are over. Justice is now. Racial justice. Legal experts say the revelation will likely be brought up on appeal by Chauvin's attorney, Eric Nelson, who will argue his client was denied an impartial jury. Yeah, I guess. So you see this guy right here. They posted while they were in D.C., August 31st, 2020. A BLM hat, and get your knees off our necks. You see that picture? Does that look like someone who's going to go into that trial impartially and look at all the data, the facts, and the evidence? Look, this guy can't stop running his mouth. He's a sociopath. He might go to jail. He probably won't. He should, but he won't. All he had to do was shut up. He didn't have to reveal himself. This is, again, why I think we're going to win. These people can't control themselves. The same woman who was on the Roger Stone jury came and spoke out. If she would have stayed anonymous, the overwhelming support that Roger Stone got for his pardon was all because of that woman. If she would have kept her mouth shut, Roger Stone would probably be in prison. Truly. Because that was the majority of the public support came, okay, wow, she's riding up against Roger personally. That's against the Sixth Amendment. He even said in this interview, I'm going to have to find where it says here. He says that there was one holdout juror. I'm going to get into that. It's very important. By the way, I know this is a focus for a lot of people across the country, especially a lot of the people that might be listening across state lines on 1100 AM The Flag because of the riots and the unrest. Do not be surprised if a judge overturns that conviction against Derek Chauvin and demands a retrial because of one camera hogging sociopath wanted attention. Are you still going to the post office, still paying full price for postage? Well, thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to anymore. Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves businesses hundreds of thousands of hours and tons of money every year. Stamps.com brings the service to the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It's a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending invoices or a side hustle, Etsy, shopping, shipping out orders. With Stamps.com, you get up to 40% off post office rates and save up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Stop wasting time going to the post office, so go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk with my promo code Charlie. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in Charlie. That's Stamps.com, promo code Charlie. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Minnesota Judicial Branch, Hennepin County Special Jury Questionnaire. You are a potential juror in the trial of four former police officers charged in connection with the death of George Floyd. From this day forward, do not read or intentionally view anything about these cases or do any investigation or research related to these cases. How many of these jurors do you think actually abided by this? They should have been sequestered, devices taken. This case should not have been played with. This judge made a massive mistake. The information in this questionnaire is for the judge and the attorneys that will be involved in this trial and is required information. But until then, your name and the fact that you are a potential juror would not be public. Now, let me just say this. I knew the beard guy, Eric Nelson, the guy representing Chauvin, was bad news. He's a lazy person. No, seriously. If I was ever a criminal defense attorney and I was in charge of this sort of process, I would go hire 10 legal clerks and say, you are going to scrub social media and find everything you can about every single one of these potential jurors. I don't understand how this is possible, quite honestly. This stuff is all posted online. None of it has to be made public, but the attorneys get to see these questionnaires, and then we have to act as if they're filling them out honestly. Well, he lied under oath, under penalty of criminal prosecution, George Mitchell, who's now doing his whole press tour. And so there's all these questions that George Mitchell had to fill out. I wonder how he answered this. From what you have seen or heard, do you have a general impression of George Floyd? From what you've seen, read, or heard, do you have a general impression of the defendants? I wonder how he answered that. This is the questionnaire that he had to fill out to be on the jury. Did you or someone close to you participate in any of the demonstrations or marches against police brutality that took place in Minneapolis after George Floyd's death? He said no. These are actually pretty good questions, I have to say. They're pretty in-depth. The only problem is they act as if people tell the truth. Talking about how often you read social media. And then there's all these other questions. Police in my community make me feel safe. Police in this country treat whites and blacks equally. Blacks and other minorities do not receive equal treatment as whites in the criminal justice system. Local police departments try to cover up excessive force rather than correct it. So you have to say, do you strongly agree or disagree? Where George Mitchell, we don't know how he – I don't think we had the exact copy of his juror form. But I wonder how he answered this one, which is, I think that news reports about police brutality against racial minorities is only the tip of the iceberg. How favorable or unfavorable are you about Black Lives Matter? He filled out all this stuff. And amazingly, he was still able to sit on a jury as an impartial juror. And let's not forget Maxine Waters, where Maxine Waters said herself that we have to get more confrontational. We want a guilty verdict. And this guy here, George Mitchell, has even gone as far to say that he wanted this to be the beginning of change. That he wanted this verdict not to be an independent verdict, but to be a vessel for massive societal change. I'm going to get the exact quote. I'm paraphrasing with that. And amazingly, ABC News, New York Times, none of them have cared about any of this. For them, it's irrelevant if you go to jail and prison with someone that might have a bias against you. Now, some people might say, well, Charlie, it's impossible to get a jury without a bias against you. How about let's just start this. You get a jury of people that didn't go protest the person you're trying to put in jail. That's probably a good place to start. How about you get a jury of people that didn't travel halfway across the country demanding that you take the knee off of people's necks on their shirt? That's probably literally the definition of a violation of the Sixth Amendment. It doesn't matter what your politics are or who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. Sadly, the big tech monopoly has instead opted for censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Free-to-access tech giants make all of their money by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, then selling off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network's data to protect you from cyber criminals, and it just takes one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN... That's right, ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired. Revoke big tech's right to your data. Visit expressvpn.com/Kirk, ExpressVPN.com/Kirk to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/Kirk for 3 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/Kirk. Let's go to cut 39, Brandon Mitchell. He was juror number 52. Let's hear from him himself.
What made you want to do this interview?
Yes, it's just as simple as I wanted to be able to give people of color, you know, other black people like me, just a positive image to know that that change is possibly going to come. And I think it starts with this last trial, this last case. It's got to start there, and it starts with having these conversations publicly and being visible.
So he says massive change. This guy's a juror, not an activist. He was a juror to sentence a person in life in jail. Do you think that he came in there with an open mind? Where he actually attended one of the marches against Derek Chauvin in favor of George Floyd? An impartial jury. That is not justice. That is a setup. And so, as I read this story here, as he wears the get your knee off our necks shirt, Maxine Waters says that we have to get more confrontational and get in people's faces. It really begs the question. It begs the question, do we still have a justice system in our country? Are we a nation of laws, or are we something else? Steve Dace mentioned this on our podcast last week. I encourage all of you to check it out. Charlie Kirk Show podcast, where Steve Dace said, we are no longer a nation of laws. We're a nation of political will. That we are a nation of whomever has the most energy, whoever demands what they want the loudest. They are the ones that actually get to set the rules of engagement in our country. And so we're seeing this at every single level, culturally, politically. And so there was this clip that has come out, and it ties with the whole George Floyd narrative. And we're going to keep our eyes on Brandon Mitchell, who should be in prison for lying on a jury form, but he probably won't be held accountable at all. But he might force a retrial. It also asks the question, do they want a retrial? Maybe some people want more civil discord in the streets. Maybe a seamless ending to the trial was not what they wanted. But we're starting to see this war on police. And that's not even a good word for it. It's a belief against fair, public, understandable, and clear laws. It's a push to put America into the third world. So this is a teacher who got pulled over in California. This story has gone totally viral. We don't know her name, amazingly. It's so funny. Whenever any of these things happen on the other side, we know the person's name immediately. We know where they live. We know their information, and it ruins their life. By the way, the professor that was scolding one of the students when it came to police last week, we talked about it at Cypress College. We still don't know her name. She's on leave, and we don't know who that is. So the left, they are given the privilege of anonymity, whereas we conservatives are never given that privilege. We always have to live in public. And I hope we find out who this woman is. I hope we make her public. Because the way she treated this police officer was so disgusting, and she's a teacher. This is a teacher, and I don't know if we have the full clip. I think we only have 36 seconds of it. That's fine. We'll just play this clip, which is she gets pulled over by this Latino Mexican police officer who couldn't be more polite, who couldn't be more decent, and she says the most racist things imaginable. We don't know her race. We don't. Somebody relevant. And she called him a murderer at least 10 times. This is what happens when the people in charge of your country are so reckless and so irresponsible. Play tape.
Do you have that picture? You scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me?
Sure. Dear?
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. You're a murderer.
Sign inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasso?
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
White.
Have a good day.
You want to be white so bad.
What an awful thing to say. She says also previously in the clip, I'm a teacher. And the police officer says, congratulations. Now, this is the irony of the entire thing. This woman, this entire confrontation would not have been made public, but she actually complained and filed a report against the police officer, which then warranted them to release the body cam footage. If she would have just drove away after that encounter, it just kind of would have went away. So we don't know very much about this woman except the fact that she's a teacher instructing your children. The people teaching our children have an agenda. A very specific agenda. And if you watch that entire clip, she calls this police officer a murderer. I wonder where she got that impression from. I wonder where she got that belief from. It's very obvious what's happening is the totalitarians and the collectivists, they have looked at teachers for quite some time as vessels to remake America in the image of which they desire. And so let's play cut 29. This is the Washington Post's global opinion editor, Karen Atiyah, who is a bigot. And she went on CNN and attacked Kamala Harris for even agreeing with the idea that America is not racist. Now, by the way, this is a black woman who is a global editor at a major publication. If America was racist, how could someone as stupid as you become a global editor of the Washington Post? Play tape.
She could have really just said, look, we have to deal with the history of racism and its present existence. And that would have been done. But the denialism, I mean, it's basically trying to say that, yeah, you know, this country has all the hallmarks of being a racist country. It has all the symptoms, it has all the causes, it has all the history, it's literally right in our faces, but it's not that.
So, of course, it's racist, obviously. I mean, how could someone as dumb as her become a global editor of the Washington Post if we weren't living in the most racist country ever? And so this goes to a variety of different points that we've been talking about and discussing about, which is the overemphasis on race. And this was a question that was asked in Seattle, which is, Charlie, how do I deal with this issue? They want you to talk about race. They think race is very important. For them, racial politics is everything. We believe in the de-emphasis of race and the emphasis on character and values. They want to create a white identitarian response to justify a permanent power grab over the American people. They over-racialize something, then they are able to create a racial response and say, oh, look at all the racists, even though we're the ones that are racists, truly, and then we're able to surveil you, infiltrate you, and keep us in charge. There's a clip that's now being recirculated, cut 40. I don't know any of the context of this clip except for the fact that this is a judge and this ridiculous trial lawyer with four black men behind him that looks like they're all being indicted and charged similarly for similar crimes. So this defense attorney is trying to – I think this was a little while ago, but it's a great example of how you have to handle these issues. And this judge is a hero, where this defense attorney tries to play the race card for one of the black men that was illegally discharging a weapon. Again, I don't know all the specifics around the charge. But listen to this judge. And this is how every single one of you in a position of leadership. So think of yourself. You're like, well, I'm not a judge. Of course you are. Are you a parent? You're a judge. Are you a boss? You're a judge. Are you a family member? You're a judge. Here's how to handle the race issue. Play tape.
He's running from the scene because shots are being fired.
Right. And he's got
in
a holster.
In light of what's
and
happening
he's got
in
got it.
Your Honor,
sir,
in light of what's happening in this country with unarmed black men being killed
don't
by police.
Don't even go down that road. That is so off base. We've got a young man, I don't care what color he is. He's in a neighborhood he doesn't live in at 1:41 in the morning, hiding on someone under somebody's dock in the water with a holster on after a police officer had a shot taken at him. Don't hand me this. He's a black man running from police brutality. Look, that is not appropriate in this case. That's not there. I'm not going to let you poison this case with bringing in something that has nothing to do with it. Your bond's $100,000 on count three and $100,000 on count four. Thank you.
That is one of the most beautiful clips I have seen. And I want to have that on repeat and publicized. Because here's this like slimy defense lawyer who's trying to play the race card and say, look, the reason my client committed the crime, which, again, all we know is that this person was under a dock with a holster after being firing a shot at 1:41 in the morning in a neighborhood they weren't in, was because of the unarmed black men with police officers. And the judge said enough of that. And until we have that energy, I'm not going to take this race card nonsense anymore. They are going to be continually defining the terms of engagement. They are going to be using that against us. There are an estimated 375 million annual police interactions every single year with citizens. In 2019, 999 ended in shooting fatalities by police, which is 0.00003%. 14 of those were unarmed blacks, which is 0.00000004%. One of those was not attempting to resist or evade arrest. 0.00000003%. Does that sound like a reason to blow up our entire country? This is an unprecedented act of deceit against the American character, against the nation. And the only way it stops is if you start to speak out against it. If you all of a sudden say no more, I'm going to know the facts. I'm going to know the information. And that was from PragerU, by the way. They do a great job. All the information's out there. What's lacking is just people to say it. Thomas Sowell says, the left takes its vision seriously, more seriously than it takes the rights of other people. They want to be our shepherds, but that requires us to be sheep. I got an email here from some people that are finally really rising up to challenge their school boards from all across the country, from Tennessee to Texas to Arizona. And I'm going to make it very specific. I'm actually going to start to list off the things in Arizona that are happening. I want to motivate the people in the room to start to take back the public square. You know, when I go around and I speak across the country, I'm not always that very well versed in what's happening in the city or the area around me. I try to ask questions before I go on. But I have found that things that I have seen nationally reported, most people that attend my speeches are unaware they're even happening in their own neighborhood. Now, sometimes the stories that are so obvious to us that are in this for hours and hours and hours a day, they're unaware that it's even happening 5 minutes down the street. And this has been one of the strokes of brilliance by the left, and quite honestly, it's why it's taken so long for them to get this done. It's really hard to take over a bunch of local municipal areas over a long period of time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of people to agree with your bad ideas. The Constitution is a document of decentralization. It delegates the power. It gives the sovereignty to the states. Well, the states actually gave its sovereignty to the federal government. And the states never gave up their true sovereignty of their own ability to exercise their rights as they see fit. And so as I get these, I just got another three emails here, which is one of these is about mask mandates and schools from Tennessee, which is, hey, Charlie, a small group of parents and I went to our school board meeting last night. Good. And they still voted against us and continue to mandate masks in our schools. We asked to have the choice and they cowed to the mob and voted 4-3 no. We plan to continue our fight and show up on June 4th meeting. Good. Do you have any advice for us? Well, first, your advice is continue to grow your numbers. Stay in front of these people. They want a situation where they are never challenged. I've sent a message to our governor to sign an executive order, as DeSantis did, to mandate the masks out of schools and businesses. But some are up for re-election in 2022, but just a couple got elected and will stay until 2024. We have a petition going around as well, but there are so many parents against us maintaining that the, quote, the mask protects you, not me. Jeez, that's Tennessee. It's too many New Yorkers have moved to Tennessee in the last couple of years. Republicans have got to fix this interstate immigration problem, by the way. Enough of the ribbon-cutting Republicans that are just welcoming tech firms into Phoenix and Austin, Texas, while these beautiful states become suburbs of these prior places. Pass laws that they loathe. Open carry, constitutional carry, pro-biological bills. Make it so that the secular humanist tech CEO can't stomach the idea of living in Texas because they don't allow men to compete in women's sports. That will preserve states like Texas and Arizona. Instead, these states have been governed for far too long by these Chamber of Commerce Republicans that have good economic values and policies. They're indifferent on social values and policies. And I can tell you right here in Arizona, Arizona is crumbling in front of us. Because we have pandered to the Chamber of Commerce and pandered to these tech companies that have just wanted to come into Arizona, and they don't even create new jobs. They bring their jobs with them. And now all of a sudden, Arizona has legalized weed, two Democrat senators. They voted for Joe Biden, some of the highest taxes in the country. So much for the economic competitiveness. Homelessness run amok. And so to answer your question, Layla, do not give up. You have to organize, circle June 4th, get more people to accompany you, and continue to testify. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I encourage you to get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war at tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.